This week, sermon number two of this series, still, things you can still do while being still. We're talking about you can still make choices. You can still make choices. Isn't that a great thing? That in this pandemic, in this time of being socially and physically distanced, that we can make choices. J.K. Rowling's of the Harry Potter fame said in one of the movies, he says, "It's our choices, Harry, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities." John Maxwell, a well-known Christian speaker, says, "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you." So the question is, what choices are you making that are making you? Again, maybe you can just put a comment in the Facebook event and tell us, what is the best choice you've ever made? I'm sure that there's lots of great stories on that. Well, human beings are made in the image of God, and as such, have the ability to make choices. This is one of the foundational truths of the creation story in Genesis. And it's one of the things that sets humans apart from all of God's creations. We have this ability to make choices. We read in Genesis 1:27, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Then we read in later on, it says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." This is Genesis chapter 1:27. Chapter 2, verse 27. So we see here that God is very specifically given Adam and Eve the ability to make choices. Most of us, part of our job as parents is to teach our children how to make choices, how to make good choices, how to learn from poor choices. And all of us have gone through life making choices. Maybe you're the kind of person that makes choices really quickly. Maybe you're one of the persons that gets overly stressed out when it comes to making choices. Maybe you love doing your research so that when you make a decision, you're settled. There's no looking back. There's no need to second guess yourself. Or maybe you're the kind of person that just waits till you absolutely have to make a decision. And then you make your choice. And then you're wondering, wow, did I make the right choice? We all struggle with that to some extent or another. You see, one of the differences between children and adults, at least generally healthy adults, is that adults have learned to be more mindful and intentional about the choices they make. This is one of the reasons why, well, generally speaking, although it happens maybe more often than we realize, children may throw a temper tantrum. They don't care where it is. It's at the school, at the store, at the restaurant, at the park, because they want something and they're not getting it. So they will just throw a temper tantrum. We don't necessarily see adults doing that as much. But like I said, maybe it happens more than we realize. Edmund Burke said this: "Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon will and appetite be placed somewhere, and the less of it there is within, the more there must be without. It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of temperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters." And this is a reality that we face in our lives, that the less control people have from within, the less willing or able they are to make wise choices, the more there has to be from without. And so we need to learn some of these things. But again, as we look at our lives, as we look at the situation we are in right now, here are some choices that you can still make. You can still choose your schedule. You can get up early or late, go to bed at a good time, at a later time. You can do all of these things. You can still make choices about your health and nutrition, what you eat, what you consume, exercise. You can still make choices that about fun activities, family time, recreation, how you spend your money. Well, maybe we're being more mindful of that because maybe we have less money at the moment than we normally do. You can make choices about your entertainment and your learning. And I hope that you are actually making a concerted effort to be learning during this time. There's great books. You can go to Amazon and get these phenomenal books for cheap or practically free. So great opportunity to expand our knowledge base. Also, your devotional life, your praying, your Bible reading, your studying, you can still make choices. And at this time, with all the restrictions placed on us, we can still do that. You can also still choose to remain positive and optimistic, choosing to remember that God is still on his throne. We all know that every choice has consequences and realize that we have to live with those consequences. But only the wise choose differently because of the potential consequences in their choices. So let us be wise. I want to talk about seven choices that the Bible encourages us to make. I'll make a reference. I won't read the Bible verses, but I'll mention them for each one of them. And again, I'd love for those that are watching to just comment on the event page which of these choices you're going to tackle first. And I've listed seven to encourage us to maybe focus on one each day of the week. Choice number one that we can still make is we can choose God. Joshua, towards the end as the people are coming in and possessing, that they're going to possess the land, they're settling and so on. And Joshua, towards the end of his life, as the people have settled in, stands before the whole nation of Israel. And he says, you know from where God has taken us out of. You know the gods that our forefathers served. But now it's a new day. Now is the time. And he says, I plead with you, I beg you, I encourage you, choose God. Don't choose the gods that your fathers served. Choose God Almighty, the real God who revealed himself to us, who delivered us out of Egypt. And this is in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Earlier in Deuteronomy 30, Moses stands before the people of Israel as they're wandering in the desert. And he says, I have placed before you death and life. Choose life. Choose life. Follow God. Obey God. Obey him. And you will have life. Good life. That's in Deuteronomy 30, 19. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, verses that perhaps some of you know by memory, where it says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So we can choose to trust the Lord. Yes, there are so many unknowns. I understand that. Our world is in a state of not only turmoil, but uncertainty. When we will return to a sense of normalcy, back to work, when the economy is going to restart, when kids will be going back to school, when we'll be able to have our elective surgeries, and on and on and on. I understand that. But in all of this, we can choose to trust the Lord. James 1:5 encourages us to ask God for wisdom. So if you're not sure what to do in this situation that we are in right now, it's a great opportunity to get on our knees, to call out to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. Would you please give me wisdom to make these decisions and these choices? And the wonderful thing is that James goes on to tell us that God will give it generously. He's not going to be stingy with us when he gives us wisdom, so we can choose to ask for wisdom. Number five, we can choose to remain faithful. Hebrews 3:14 talks about, encourages the readers to remain faithful. We hear in the New Testament that if we are faithful to the end, God will reward us. So let's choose each day to be faithful to God. Number six, we are encouraged to find encouragement in God. It's a very interesting story. You can read it in Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, around there. David is in trouble. David was often in trouble, King David. Somebody was always out to get him. He's always being chased. And he says that he was so concerned, so downcast because of what was going on in his life. But then it tells us, especially the King James Version says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Can I ask you, can I tell you that today, when you are feeling discouraged, when you are feeling overwhelmed, when anxiety is starting to creep in, when your thoughts are running wild and you're now starting to see the end of the world, can I ask you, encourage yourself in God by praying, by reading, by worshiping, those kinds of things. And number seven, lastly, is to pray and give thanks. We referred to Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 last week, but I think these verses are so appropriate even today to pray in everything with prayer and supplication, giving thanks. We find it hard, don't we, to give thanks when things seem to be so out of control. But we can do that. We can do that. We can look to God. We can turn to Him. So here's four choices. I'll just leave it at that. Four choices that the Bible tells us to avoid. It encourages us to avoid. First of all, it tells us to avoid evil and even the very appearance of evil. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. You know, there's a lot of criminal activity going on. People are desperate, I suppose, and they're trying to make ends meet. There's a lot of break and enters, a lot of stealing of property, lots of crime. But the Bible tells those of us who are Christians to avoid evil, to run from the passions that will betray us, that will trample us up, and even its appearance. It says in Philippians 4:10 and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it tells us not to fear and not to have anxiety. I mean, Isaiah 41:10 and Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. He doesn't tell us that He's going to make all our problems go away. What He does tell us is that He's going to be with us all the time. And again, we read it last week, Philippians 4, not to fear. It says, be anxious for nothing. We can battle anxiety when it starts to come on us. Let me say something here. You may be hearing me today. You may be watching the live stream and thinking, Pastor, you don't know. I actually have a medical condition. I struggle with anxiety. If that is you, can I encourage you? Seek medical care. This isn't something you can fix on your own. It's not a normal bout of anxiety, of feeling overwhelmed and overcome and just flattened by everything that's going on. That's kind of like what happens normally in kind of normal life. But if you have a medical condition that you struggle with, please, please seek medical care. It will be really good for you. Number three. The Bible tells us to avoid the company of fools. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says that bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 14:7 tells us that fools are always planning their own destruction without even knowing it. And then the Bible tells us to avoid everything that is unwholesome or evil. It says in Ephesians 4:29, most translations say avoid evil talk. Or unwholesome talk. You know what the word literally means? Rotten. Rotten. A miracle happened yesterday. I actually cooked supper. And I went to find an onion. And you know when you pick up an onion or a vegetable and on one side it looks like it's good. And I grabbed it and picked it up. And as I turn it like this, I could see how most of it was all moldy. Bluish, greenish instead of a red apple, which is a red onion, which is what it was. Most of us don't go like, wow, that is so cool. I can't wait to throw this in the recipe, right? We're like, oh, that's terrible. Who left this here? That gives us an idea of the kind of talk that the Bible encourages us to avoid. Something that doesn't help. In fact, one Bible commentary writer says that it's in reference, this unwholesome talk is in reference to complaining, sneering, being cynical, sarcastic, and in general, anything that demoralizes. This is not a time to let our talk demoralize, discourage, hurt other people. This is a time to encourage, to be a blessing, to give words that are optimistic, that keep people focused and moving forward. So I would encourage you on that. Choices. You still have the ability to make choices. Graham Brown said this: life is about choices. Some we'll regret. Some we're proud of. Some will haunt us forever. The message: we are what we choose to be. And some of you, perhaps today, you're saying, yeah, Gil, if you knew, there are some choices I've made I am not proud of. There are some choices I really regret. I wish I could change them. Well, we can't change them, but God can take care of that and bring something good out of that. And all we need to do is, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me. I haven't always done what you wanted me to do. I've run life my own way. I realize it's not working and that I really need divine help. Would you come, take over my life, change me, give me a new purpose for living? And when we ask God to do that, when we ask him to come and be Lord and Savior of our lives, our past no longer has a hold or power over us. So I encourage you to do that. A couple of more quotes. Edwin Markham said that choices are the hinges of destiny. Choices are the hinges of destiny. So I have this to leave you with. Whatever else is happening in your life and in the world today, you can still make choices. So make wise choices. Use the ability you have to make choices. Nobody will force you to do that, but you can choose to do that with God's help. Let me pray. God, we pray and ask you to please help us. Draw us near to you and help us to make good, wise choices, and help us to avoid choices that are destructive, that are unwholesome, that are demoralizing, not only to us, but to others around us. We ask that you would help us in the name of Jesus. Amen.